Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like the content and what we're trying to do over here and some of the programs that are coming through the stations, please, if you can, reach into your pocket and throw a few dollars in the kitty. I know they would much appreciate any help that can be given to them. I'm joined today by Derek Story and Wayne Peters. I had these two gentlemen on, I think it was 3 weeks ago. I hear my intro. Somebody's feeding
in
the background.
I told you guys, you have to turn your radio stream off. You have to turn the stream off. I told you.
Yeah, because it's feeding back through the live show here, man. So I don't know how that's...
We don't even have it on.
Derek, turn your stream off.
You have to turn that off, Derek.
It's not on.
I told you three times.
Okay, let's just get it solved. It's not a problem. I don't know how to turn it off because I'm not there, but we're getting a feed through of the intro on the live feed here, Derek, so something's going to have to be eliminated. There. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, listen, we've got rid of that, folks. Sorry about that. But yeah, I had Derek and Wayne in here a couple weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks ago, and I really enjoyed the conversation. I know that they're trying to stream this on their own station right now, and that might not be working out for us, so we'll see what we can do with that. But welcome to the show, gentlemen, and thanks for taking some time today to join me.
Thanks for having us on, like always. Absolutely a pleasure.
And Wayne, to you too, man. I've been actually watching some of your videos there, Wayne, lately, and you're doing a really, really good job, buddy. Keep it up.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Doing everything you can.
Well, we all kind of got our backs up against the wall here, and I don't say that lightly, guys. We actually are getting in a situation in Canada right now where massive persecution of people that are speaking the truth is just around the corner, if it isn't already here. And we're seeing it more and more, especially with this latest fiasco with the blockades. Yes, sir?
We're seeing they've been slowly shortening the bench from what we're allowed to do, and we're really quickly reaching... The smaller the news titans, the faster it seems to go. And that's exactly where we're at here now. And they are blatantly talking about things that are going to forever change this country and everything that we ever considered.
Well, I'm not hearing anything right now. I completely lost you guys. We're having a...
They're still in, Barry. They're still in here.
Okay, yeah. No, we're having...
Are you guys still trying to listen to yourself?
No. We're completely shut off of everything. We got nothing going other than this call.
We're just getting a really bad signal coming through from you guys. It's some of the stuff we're saying right now. It's really hard to hear. We'll continue and maybe it'll get better. But we'll try and maybe speak a little bit slower and as close to the mic as you can, because we are getting a bit of a garble coming through on your end right now, Derek.
We'll try to do better.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. You were saying something, or did you want to continue on with that thought, or did you want to... I know there's a bunch of stuff going on right now we wanted to talk about.
No matter what, which direction you turn, every minute there's something new. For the crime spree carries on. They're getting hyped about it. We've got resurrecting Bill 276. Mr. Garbendo's call to register and license media. Like, what does that even mean? There's just absolute utter insanity everywhere.
Okay. Have you got a phone number that we could maybe try this on, Derek? Because I don't know what's going on here with this Skype reception right now, but I'm not understanding. I'm only understanding maybe every third word that you're saying right now. And maybe we could maybe try this on another connection, maybe on a phone line.
Yeah,
that might work better because you really are coming through garbled, and I don't want to, you know, keep interrupting you. I want to hear what you got to say, but like I said, it sounds like it's coming through really garbled right now. In the chat rooms, go ahead.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah, Annie actually. Okay. Huh. I don't know why that is, why we're having such a bad reception. Usually Skype works really good for us, as a rule.
Yeah, it normally does. It worked earlier when we tried it.
Well, yeah, the last time I had you guys on, the reception was really clear, but today it's I don't know what's going on, guys. I really don't. I couldn't understand much what you were saying there. Any ideas there, Steve? Maybe we could try him in on a phone line?
Well, he just put a phone line in there. Do you want it called?
Okay, well, let's try calling him on a phone line and see if that gets any better reception or less garbled than what we're getting on Skype right now, because, like I said, I can't understand much of what he's saying right now.
Yeah, you need to hang up on the Skype call.
Yeah, I got him. Okay, well, hang up on the Skype here, and we're going to call you back on a phone line, Derek, and see if that's any better, okay? Hang with us there for a second, folks. We'll see if we get this sorted out. It's kind of nice that if I can hear what my guests are saying. yeah.
All right, it's being called now.
We don't usually have those kind of problems with Skype. Geez, you're really stable for us.
It's being called now.
Hello?
Yeah, here, let's see if that's... yeah, that actually, the first couple words came out sounded a little bit better.
Okay, well, we'll try this and see how that works.
Yeah, that is definitely better. Definitely better.
All right.
So, anyways, I know you guys have got something up your sleeve today that's going to be, I've heard, is going to be kind of maybe opening a few eyes. And I don't know if you can elaborate on it, but whatever it is that you've got up your sleeve, that it's going to disrupt the government in any shape or form, I'm behind that.
Well, today's going to look a little bit like a victory in uncovering truth for free speech. We've all known that different organizations and groups were promoting and funding and supporting and aiding and abetting the silencing of us that's been going on for a very long time. That really started hard and heavy last January when the convoy to Ottawa announced itself that they were going to go to Ottawa. And it's been very easy for us to know that this was happening, but not understand how the business behind this was. We knew a long time ago that this was organized and funded. So we started to do some research about 4 months ago. And we've all been taking a lot of hits in this cancel culture, they're calling it, these social justice warriors that silence everybody that does not conform to their opinion. Doesn't matter whether you're an independent pundit like you or we are, or if you're an electoral candidate running for the Prime Minister of Canada, nobody seems to have been able to escape this cancel culture. And we've been maybe not looking under the right rocks. Well, we've uncovered a rock, and what we've uncovered underneath of that rock, to be quite honest with you, we've been hoping for a couple of months that somebody else would uncover the truth, that this is so big and so monumental and involves so many people and so much money. We know that when we release this information this afternoon, the blowback is going to be absolutely extreme. These NGOs are a serious problem in Canada, a serious problem. And we need to get way, way more awakeness as to what's going on with that. And we've been able to get a hold of some documents, court documents, transcripts, and put the pieces together. And we're going to explain a lot. One of the big networks, a couple of them that are tied together that are actually influencing policy and creating the laws that are silencing us in Canada right now. and it's only going to get worse. And nobody has ever even heard of what this group is. They don't even know it exists.
Yeah, and they're making fundamental changes in our world, and we don't even know about it. So much of this is going on behind closed doors, folks, that it's almost like to get the light shine on these people is almost impossible because of the layers of defense they have around these groups and how hard it is actually to get to the bottom of all this. And when you do, it'll absolutely astound you. But I always say, Derek, just follow the money. The money will always, always eventually take you to the truth. What do you think Wayne?
What, pardon me?
I said, does Wayne think about this?
Well, this is where when we uncover an NGO that has influence to every top intelligence agency in Canada, and they serve the recommendations to the intelligence agencies to write the laws that they are writing for us against them. And they're funded by some of the familiar names. I mean, the usual suspects are involved in that, but we haven't been able to document the money trail and the actual organizations and the people that are doing this. Well, today that's going to change.
So it's pretty exciting to drop the bill and close it for rocking, but your approval will be fine.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Anything that shines the light on them is going to make them scurry. So, absolutely. You know, what's the kickback going to be? And you've got my interest. I mean, anything I can do right now to put a halt on what's going on in this country in any shape or form, whether it be something like this or just getting the public really, really informed of exactly what's going on in Canada, I'm all on board for, of course. I mean, so much of this is going on behind closed doors. We look at how much influence we're now seeing being brought into Canada by the United Nations and how they've got their tentacles into so many parts of our government now. And it's just getting out of control. It ain't going to stop.
It's so out of control. This is where we couldn't wait anymore to release this information because it is literally the same people that have appropriated the Wet'suwet'en cause and this entire Extinction Rebellion. It's the exact same people behind the masks there as it is behind Antifa, and they are a very organized network running around under very innocuous and misleading names, and this is what's shutting down Canada. These people are shutting down Canada. It's all part of literally an international terrorist organization, and our tax dollars by the millions are being used fund this garbage that is shutting down Canada and destroying us, completely and utterly destroying free speech and discussion in Canada. We haven't been able to have that for a couple of years now, and that's primarily because these organizations and NGOs, exactly like we're going to uncover today, they've been running around unchecked because nobody knew who really they were. We couldn't do anything about it. The law isn't going to step in because these are funded by non-profit, non-governmental organizations, and they support the current agenda. And exactly. It's all part of literally a social Marxist coup to destabilize Canada.
Well, like I said, you just got to follow the money. And if you do, you'll find out who's funding all of these organizations in Canada. It'll all go back to the Tides Foundation and George Soros and his cronies. It doesn't take long to understand that once you start following the money. People don't take time to, unfortunately, people don't take time to do that.
And there are hundreds of them. And when we expose just one today, we are able to see the power and reach and influence that is happening. We literally will explain that today. We will literally show you how Antifa are directly responsible for writing laws in Canada, and the police and intelligence agencies are listening to them.
I know it's deep. How deep exactly, I'm not exactly sure, but the more I find out, the more I'm not really surprised because we are being attacked from... I'm not surprised. Nothing this government does surprises me. Nothing this government does surprises me because there's nothing that isn't in their playbook right now to achieve the agenda. And you're right there destroying this country at light speed right now. The good thing about it is they're moving so fast right now that common Canadians are actually starting to pay attention. And I see that in general conversations now with people I talk to in the coffee shops and general conversations with people. They all feel the same way. Every one of them says to me, how do we hang Justin Trudeau? Period. And I hear that from everybody I talk to. So if this guy became our prime minister, who's supporting him? Well, we know it's the voting bloc of Toronto and Montreal and Quebec that control our country. Go ahead.
Well, it was like I was saying earlier, like with all the West road blockades and stuff, it's like we stepped back in time to the colonial times, you know, we're into white supremacists and colonial and settlers and stuff like that. It's strange, but people are starting to wake up real quick to that narrative. It's like, wait a minute, I'm not a white supremacist. I'm not a colonial. Like, I'm a Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm sorry, I just was reading some of the chat there. these blockades are really setting a precedent in Canada. What the government of Canada has basically said in the last 30 days here is that you can go ahead and break the law in Canada as long as you're following our agenda and you're doing what we want to perpetrate on the society, you're allowed to break the law. I mean, we have had, five derailments in the last 30 days, folks, five. Now, I was trying to find out what the national average is for derailments on the CN line. And this is really right out of the ballpark as far as the amount of derailments in a 30-day period. They've never seen anything like that before. Well, is there anything to do with the possible blockades of these railway lines and these radicals that are running loose in our country that will do just about anything to perpetrate their agenda? You don't think there might be something to see there, or am I the only one seeing this? And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to kind of put one and one together that all of a sudden we're seeing derailments all over the place, the last one being in Prince George a couple of days ago, of a tanker train. Is this a coincidence?
Absolutely not. And,
of course.
And this is where people understand the mechanics of this transition from sovereign nation to post-national state of the United Nations, where once we become this post-national state, we have a different set of rules and law in order to comply to. And so now law enforcement is kind of trying to have being put in a position where they have to ride the fence of the law and order on which they enforce support. So they do the bidding of the masters that hold the paycheck to the keys to the kingdom. So this is where we're seeing conflicts in where these people that are claiming these rights, and they say things like your laws don't apply to me. Or this is because they've already adopted UN policy, UN law under the UNDRIP agreement, things like that. So now we've got the police that are saying, which laws do we follow, the United Nations law or Canadian law? And the same thing applies, and it's this intentional division when they are asked to look now at these derailments. And they say, well, no, it's not the RCMP's job, it's the rail police job, which they have their own police force, all of the authority of the RCMP. But no, resources are foreign funded, privately owned resources. So we've got a privately owned police force, basically, that is really going to set themselves up for their position in the post-national state of the UN. So this is where Biden conquers reached epic levels, and it's being facilitated by foreign-funded entities, and it's from every direction, and it is impacting every single Canadian. And when we see people that are going to be fighting in the grocery stores for toilet paper, this is why. This is affecting them, too. Whether they can keep their head in the sand like the ostrich all they want, but going to, it's affecting them already. And if we don't uncover take the fuel out of the gas tank of these things against you that are working against us, we're in deep, deep.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And we see them taking miles and miles now. I'm absolutely blown away with the acceleration of events inside our government here in the last, well, I'd say 3 years that I've really seen a major push starting to come. And now we're seeing this crap going on with the rail lines. We're seeing this so-called hereditary chief making deals with the government in northern British Columbia here that are going to directly affect every band council up here. And yet he has no more claim to the chief, the role of a hereditary chief than you or me, that he stole that title. And now he is the only one that the government wants to negotiate with. And this guy was actually charged for beating his wife, and he's in charge of council, in charge of dealing with people that are beating their wives. And this guy was actually criminally charged for beating his own wife, got 9 months in jail. And, of course, it was done through the native system, and he was sent to a healing lodge for 9 months. But he beat her so bad that he put her in the hospital. And this is the guy that the Canadian government wants to make deals with, that we're not allowed to know the context of the deals, yet it's going to directly affect each and every one of us, that we're not allowed to know the context of these deals, that they're just going to get signed, no matter what we have to say. What kind of society are we slipping into? Or are we there? Or are we past the point of no return?
This is the guy that's blaming the white settlers for everything that bad that's ever happened to him. And he probably blames us for the abuse of his wife as well. And how bad this has gotten is we know what happens to us when we post an anti-Trudeau picture or image or comment. It doesn't last 5 minutes, and it either gets removed, or you get suspended, or deplatformed, or penalized, or in Facebook jail, as they call it. But yet, an entirely explain how to step-by-step terrorist manifesto on how to derail trains all across the country and all the optimum points, choke points, where you can do the most damage, how to do it here, how to do it there, what's the best time of day to do it. A website like that can circulate untouched on Facebook.
It didn't violate the community standards, man. What's the matter with you?
Right?
It did. I mean, that didn't violate our community standards. We're only talking about terrorism. and yet, boy, I tell you, you mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, and you're banned forever, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yet they can put this, and I've gone through that's right. And it is done by somebody with some extreme military experience. This is literally a how to take Canada down in a manifesto, step by step, right from building your own thermite to what's the best time of day to take them out in what problems. And it's explained nationwide, and this circulates.
So police in Canada have to be called out. They really do. We should all be making phone calls. Whether it'll do any good or not, that remains to be seen. But we should all be calling the RCMP and asking them why they're not enforcing the rule of law in Canada.
That, 100% agree. We should be protesting the police department detachments all across the country.
Well, you look at who's running the RCMP and who was actually appointed commissioner of the RCMP, and then you look at her connections to globalist organizations, the Council on Foreign Relations, which she was part of. She's a member. She's related to Bill Monroe, the finance minister, and she was appointed by Justin Trudeau. And the RCMP, I said this, I told the story here about 3 months ago on my show, because I talk to the guy all the time. I've talked to a couple members of the RCMP that are just regular on-the-street RCMP officers, and they told me that they're disgusted, that members in their department are disgusted. That's the word he used, with what they see going on in the upper-level management of the RCMP. But he says, what do you do? You know, we took this job on to enforce the law, and we're seeing it being broke by the upper levels, people controlling the RCMP. Well, our police force is basically in a stand-down order from the government. We're in a full-blown fascist dictatorship, and people just aren't seeing it yet. Go ahead.
But they were on stand-down before Lucky came in. That's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of people, but it's all, you're right, at the top of the of the pile. These guys are
I don't know if it's because they're afraid they're going to lose their pensions or whatever, what the case might be, but I know exactly what you mean. I've spoken to boots on the ground cops, and this isn't making their lives any easier or any better. And it's surprising to me how often they hide it in the news about these guys taking their own lives, and it's because of exactly all of this. But we have to also accept that that's partly our responsibility, because these guys, if they do speak out, they're going to get the news. And if we're not going to back them as a population, they can't afford to risk sticking their necks out just one at a time. So it's going to take, again, the power of the people, the court of public opinion, really needs to unite and rise on at least a couple of certain key issues. Make Canada safe again would be a great place to start.
Yeah, we're really kind of losing a grip on it right now, the way I see it, and it's really seemed to be accelerating. That we look at all the laws and what the government's doing right now to really shut down free speech in Canada. I mean, if we don't put a stop to that, we are going to lose it. Then we couple that with something that really concerns me, and that, of course, is the push towards a cashless society. And we're going to see that come real hard here in the next couple of years. I believe myself, in 3 or 4 years, if they have their way, that we will be a cashless society. We get to that point, gentlemen, we have lost control of everything. We lose it all.
Yeah. Well, I think they're kind of might push the cryptocurrency with this coronavirus. Because they're going to be like, oh, it's going to get passed through bills and stuff like that, you know, the virus itself.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, there's so much information going on about this virus right now, and so many different theories and so many different thoughts. It's really hard to get a complete handle on it. But, you know, how much of the information that we're getting about it is actually true? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. I mean, anything coming out of China, we can't trust them to provide us with truly factual information. It's really kind of, I'm sitting here kind of trying to be objective about the situation right now. Is it, you know, we see this fear factor rising in society about this virus. Yet, you know, the flu right now, as it stands, kills way more people than this thing has been responsible for. Yet the way they're playing it, right now, is really starting to strike fear into people's hearts.
Fear
is their biggest weapon.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best control tool that they can use. Year.
Of course, it opens up a lot of that kind of opens up a Pandora's box, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah,
you know, maybe a situation where if they can play it up to a certain point and society starts to really panic, along comes the mandatory vaccine for the safety of the rest of the world. And unfortunately, a good percentage of the sheeple in society would roll up their sleeves.
Yep.
There'll be thousands that won't, but there'll be millions that will, especially if you factor in fear and how that controls the human brain, man. What happens when a person gets put into a state of chaos, how they absolutely lose it. They don't have rational thinking anymore. So there's lots of little rabbit holes that would benefit from this virus becoming a full-blown national emergency, coast to coast. We've seen California, the state, declare a state of emergency today, and that's only because they had another, 3 cases detected. So it's not big numbers here. Italy seems to be having a major problem with it, but then are we getting truly factual information about it out of Italy? Big question.
That's the biggest question of all. That's what makes it completely unpredictable to try it and say anything and get into it. That's why we haven't really been following it that closely. I follow a Global Watch reported cases page just to kind of see how fast it may be growing on a global scale. And it's really not a lot different from what I'm seeing. I mean, I'm absolutely no expert. I'm not a doctor. I spent years as a paramedic and a firefighter, but by no means a medical authority or doctor. The reality of what I see is it's going to be a bad flu season, maybe, and places that don't look after themselves might get it a little bit worse than others. But I also see the social engineering change of this being on the, they're trying to turn this to a scale of 9/11 and travel and restriction around the world. After that, we're going to see the same jump in social engineering out of this corona pandemic fear trade.
Yeah, well, we're seeing the airlines all cancel flights. We're seeing all the major airlines right now canceling a lot of their flights and flight restrictions going into place. So if this is being played on as a charade, there's a lot of people involved. I'm not going to say it's going to become something out of control, but it's something I'm watching pretty closely, and we got to remember who's going to benefit from such an event happening in society. How anytime they start losing control of the population, there's some form of a false flag unleashed on the public. And of course, 9/11 always works because they've done it before and they will do it again. It works. 9/11 was a perfect example of that. The Gulf of Tonkin was an example of that. The blowing up of the Maine, Pearl Harbor, were all false flags.
We have to ask ourselves back to the same question, follow the money, benefits of this all, right? And every time something like this happens, it seems to be a push from this one world governance to create a problem and provide a solution. And I first started to get really, really nervous about all of this when I heard about the Gates' test model pandemic exercise last August, September, October. And then I also saw an announcement come out where, actually, I listened to his speech. He did a video speech on it where he was giving, I think, $2.5 billion to merge the mandatory vaccination companies to find a way to add tracking chips to mandatory vaccines. So now here it is 6 months later, and we're seeing people starting to ask questions. Could this be something to do with mandatory vaccines and chips? Well, if we were paying attention and aware of our environment 6 months ago, we wouldn't be asking that question right now. We would be saying, okay, this is all bullshit, and this is what you're trying to do.
We'll try not to swear on this station, guys. That's what
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's all right. Apologies. No, it's all right. Just we try not to, because we are sent. I'm being broadcast on Shake and Wake, and we are a Christian network, so no problem. No problem. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's really. I apologize deeply. I try not to be on Channel 2, and it's something that I am aware of. But this is the frustration that comes out in us, and I hear a lot worse. Try to keep a lid on it, but there's some big stuff brewing, and most of us are still distracted by the one fire tree burning in front of us that we don't see the forest ablaze behind it, I think.
Makes you wonder sometimes how society got to this point, doesn't it? What has happened to Canadian public? We got there through years of manipulation, through small little changes implemented in our society over many years to get us to this point. Because I'll tell you, if I could go back to my childhood, I was 9 years old right now, and this kind of stuff was going on in our world, every parent that I know in the city of Toronto would be down at CBC the next morning with pitchforks and guns demanding accountability. But now what is considered to be good is what was considered to be evil, and vice versa. And we see it just getting worse and worse. We look at this transgender problem. We look at this insanity being taught to our children. We look at drag queens being allowed to put on demonstrations in public libraries to 6 and 7 and 8 year old children. This is insanity, but that's what's going on in our world right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's gone absolutely out of control for sure. You know, like even trying to be a parent these days, the teachers say they don't like to get too involved with the teachers of the kids, you know. And not allowed to talk bad about your kids. Not allowed to talk about that. It's so sensitive right now. Like, that's how they get the kids too, you know. It's like that. They get so upset and triggered. And then you get all these Antifa kids running around afterwards.
Yeah, and then we got what's going on in the schools in British Columbia and what's going on in the governments in British Columbia right now, where they have basically taken the rights away from parents, that you as a parent don't have rights now. When your child at 13 years old decides that Johnny wants to be a girl or vice versa, you as a parent don't have any say in that anymore. The system will make those decisions. They'll accept the decision of that child to make life-changing changes to their bodies at an age where they can't understand what's going on in this world, have no idea what's going on in this world, and yet that's where we're at now. And this is insanity. We have some of the strongest people in the world fighting against this right now, and it's something that we all really got to start standing up against, because what they're doing to our children, they should be put in jail for, period.
Well, they started with the normalization of it, and it's escalated to where we've got the Jessica Yaniv's making a mockery out of human rights and courts and all of this. And so that's gotten to the point where the virtue signaling that's going on to support these kinds of things has really got us behaving exactly like the Chinese, basic Chinese dictatorship that Trudeau loves so much, that if you don't voice and your support in these kinds of things, where you say anything against it, your social score, your digital presence is punished, and everything you've got is taken away from you. You have no social equity, no social leverage if you don't support these things. So this is where we are being steered and manipulated into this social credit score system. That next thing it'll be, once they have, and we're seeing all of the big banks make a shift to digital currency away from cash currency. How are we going to access that cash currency or that digital currency if our social credit score has been destroyed?
Well, I know that I'm not going to be able to do any business in the future, because I deal with cash, man. That's it.
That's the thing. You won't be able to even work under the table anymore.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say. When they get us to this point where we are a cashless society, the government will be able to control every aspect of your life. And once they've got us to that point, you know, and I know, what's to stop them from saying, hey, we got some new rules that we're bringing in today, and we're in a situation where we can't do any commerce outside of what they have set us up to take part in. We're basically over a barrel, and we have no defense.
Well, yeah, they'll also penalize you and take your credits down, like, or whatever, the cash, too. You know, it's like, oh, you're bad, here's a fine. Take your right out of your account, you know?
Well, if you're put into a situation where you cannot participate in any kind of commerce, and me being a Christian, of course, that falls right into biblical prophecy and the mark of the beast and what I see going on in the world right now. I'm not going to sit and bring that up in great detail, but it plays very, very deeply into what I believe is being set up on the planet right now. And that, of course, is a complete control system of the human race, a one world ruler. And I believe that's a real possibility on our planet today. And a system where you're forced to comply, or else you will not be able to participate in any kind of commerce, can't go to the store and buy food, can't do anything unless you comply with the system that I believe they're going to set up here in the next couple of years. So that's what I my biggest fear.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
It's already here. I mean, we only have to take a look at people like Goldie, for example. Gave maybe one bad interview with somebody that she wasn't fully aware of, and she has now been kicked off of she's not allowed PayPal. She's been kicked out of that Airbnb. Can't get a GoFundMe account. She can't get a social media platform account, a Facebook account, a Twitter account. She's paid the ultimate price for saying some words that somebody didn't like. And Kevin Johnson, sitting and rotting in a maximum security jail in Ontario, because he's questioning the system and saying things that might hurt somebody's feelings. How much more communist does it get than that already?
Yeah, they're coming after everybody really hard right now. We know that. We look at the attacks that everybody's experiencing right now. And anybody that's speaking the truth in candor, trying to get people aware of what's going on, are under attack right now, and it's just going to ramp up. They're not going to stop. They're not going to allow us to continue to share this information with the public, because they know right now, and I said at the beginning of the show, that I'm actually seeing people now that, you know, a couple years ago, their main focus of their life was who was winning the hockey games and what's the score in the NHL last night. Actually paying attention to something going on around them in their society. So I am seeing a shift in people's attention right now. That's because it's so in our face that it doesn't take a rocket scientist of any shape or form. You could be somebody with a very low IQ, and if you start looking at what this government is doing and ask yourself if there's any sense at all, what's there? Show me one good thing, I say to people, that Justin Trudeau has done for the Canadian people in the last 3 years. Show me one good thing that has really benefited our country. Most people, there's nothing there. And I'd say the same thing to anybody. Show me something that he's done that's really benefited Canadians. Well, you can't find a single thing, but you can find 150 things that he's done to destroy this country.
That depends on who you ask. The almost 10% new Canadians, or the 90% of Canadians that nobody listens to. Meaning us.
Yeah, I lost you there just for a second.
Oh, I said it depends on who you ask. If you're asking a new Canadian or one of us that's been here for generations, you'll get a different answer. But nobody with any licensed voice, i.e. a news or media company, will talk to the 90% that are unheard. So Trudeau's greatest thing since sliced bread, and that's what the world is doing.
Well, you know, I have read a good part of the Communist Manifesto. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read a good portion of it. And I'm not much of a book reader, but I actually sat down and made myself read that so I could understand it and correlate what's going on in today's world to what's in that book. And boy, folks, if you read that, understand what it says, you'll see that being played out to almost a T right now in our society.
So, well, absolutely.
Almost right to the T, buddy. We're almost a duplicate right now of what was happening in Germany in 1936 and 37, where Hitler turned the children against the family. That Hitler used the children and manipulated them. Well, what do we see now with people like Greta Thunberg running around the planet?
Well, yeah. Well, they teach them socialism, which is like a dumbed down way of saying communism, you know?
Exactly.
So these kids have this teaching, and like I seen an article there the other day where a social justice teacher took the whole class out to protest climate change. I think it was in BC somewhere too, and like it's ridiculous. It's like they're teaching them how to be protesters in grade 7, grade 6, you know.
Yeah, they start the indoctrination very, very young. And what are we putting out in our school system now? We're putting out pretzels. We're not putting out educated children with free thought or collectively able to rationalize what's going on in their world. It's strictly an indoctrination. And it's just really getting out of hand now. When the schools start taking part and participating in every part of a child's upbringing and their moral standards and what they're supposed to believe and all this other crap that's going on, if we don't put a stop to this, we're going to lose our children, man. Somebody keeps following me here. And can just give me half a second here, guys. I'm just going to mute out. I'm going to keep following. Sorry about that. Somebody's calling me. I'm going to keep declining it so they go away. I hate that. I'll turn my phone off here. That's the best thing to do. And then I'm not bothered again. Anyways, yeah. Laura Lynn Thompson, you guys been following her and her struggles right now?
Yeah, her most reporting stuff like that for doing an interview with that gentleman in D.C. with the daughter. The daughter transition.
Yeah, they're allowed to have interviews with those two in American stations. There's a couple American stations that have had interviews with them, and they can't stop that, in fact, coming across the airwaves into Canada. So if you go look for interviews on American stations, I don't have the names in front of me. Laura Lynn actually sent me a link on that where I can actually go listen to this guy spill it all out without censorship of what's going on in Canada right now, how the courts are completely censoring free speech. Whatever gives the courts the right to do all that? Who said that was okay?
Yeah. Well, the court system has this like nice law there, the publication ban. They always throw that on everything these days, so no one can talk about it.
Well, yeah, every court case now has a publication ban. Well, how are we going to find out what's going on inside the legal system if there are publication bans on everything that goes on in the court? Donna Farrelly. Exactly. Wayne, a girl named Donna Farrelly?
Yeah.
I was asked to mention her name and ask you about her today because apparently she's involved with you guys and she's doing some pretty crazy stuff right now. Crazy in a good way.
I spoke to her yesterday for the first time. A story had come across to me about a court challenge in Alberta 10 years ago, challenging the legality of the 1905 Act where Alberta became a province of Canada. And she believes there's something not right with that. So she filed a case, and 10 years ago it was in, and she does actually have another hearing coming up this week and then another one later on this month. So this was why I was interested to speak with her yesterday, and because it's different again. This has nothing to do. She has no affiliate with any of these other groups that have been being, you know, in our ears for months and months and months and months. She's not the juror. She's not Dr. She is an individual person that is challenging the law to try and recognize something as wrong or right. She has no political affiliation, nothing else like that. She's entirely done this on her own through her own research and work and whatnot for more than 10 years. So, this makes me curious, right? So if individual people are able to take it upon themselves to get to a point where they're in court with this for 10 years, people should know about it, right, wrong, or otherwise. I'm not siding with anything. This isn't about separatism. This isn't about anything else. She's just looking at the legalities of documents that we're being bound by.
Well, they have definitely set the system up to serve themselves, haven't they? And take their voice away.
We're gonna go and we're gonna tell the story and let people learn from it, right? I mean, that's kind of the idea behind what we're trying to do.
Well, I think it's really important that we bring light to some of these stories, man, because there's so much corruption going on in our governments that it's almost overwhelming. It's almost to the point where when you start finding out about some of this stuff, you can't believe it. But unfortunately, it's true.
Yeah.
No, just the fact that, you know, Trudeau was completely ignoring these train derailments and the CBC coming out with an article blaming it on this on CN themselves and their lack of maintenance. And because some incident happened in 2 years ago, that all of a sudden CN is responsible for these five derailments in 30 days right in the area of the country where we have all these violent protesters blockading rail lines. And you tell me there's nothing to see there. Yet the police and Trudeau are completely ignoring this. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. It really doesn't to figure out what's going on there. And if that's what they're capable of doing to perpetrate their agenda, where are they going to stop? What's next? What is next, man? Go ahead.
Yeah, I also heard somebody mention that Bill Gates has shares in CN Rails, too.
Well, come on. I mean, all of a sudden we have these protests on the rail line. We have blockades going all over the country on rail lines. And all of a sudden we've had five derailments in 30 days. The numbers that I looked at just quickly before we got on the air, I punched up CN rail derailments last 5 years. And this is way out of the park as far as occurrences of derailments. They just don't happen this often. You'll hear about them once in a while, but nothing like what we've seen in the last 30 days. So don't tell me there isn't any kind of correlation between the two events. Because you'd have to be stupid to think. Yeah, you'd have to be stupid to think otherwise. But this is what the CBC is trying to put across to Canadians, that there's nothing to see there. Trudeau saying there's nothing to see there. There could be any kind of possible connection between what's what we're supporting with these train derailments, the government supporting, and these events of terrorism going against our rail line. I mean, nothing could, well, couldn't happen. We're Canada, land of the home, home of the free, land of the brave.
But the instant you question it, then you then it's something else entirely. Now you are challenging the narrative. You're suggesting something that they might not like or comply. So you must be a white supremacist trying to spin the narrative against them. The instant you're asking questions about this, right?
I am an Islamophobic bigot, Meg. I mean, white supremacist, you name it. I've got them all, buddy.
I know, but it's funny how they try and turn the dime on it immediately, right?
Well, of course, because they have nothing else. That's the only narrative that they ever come up with, man. They'll always blame you for what they're doing behind their backs, or our backs.
And the beautiful part of that is that they have the exact same rhetoric, the exact same playbook, and now you see them doing the exact same thing, except one minute they've got an Antifa mask on, the next minute they've got feathers and a mask on, and they're claiming they're indigenous. This is the people that are doing this. It's not the Wet'suwet'en or any of the other indigenous that are doing it out of honest and genuine intentions. The ones that are doing it have bought into this exact garbage.
It's a very, very small percentage of our population that is driving these agendas, but they know the tool of political correctness. They know how to play a victim card. They know how to take our society and turn it upside down. We've seen it now, how they're dividing our society, turning people against themselves, how they're destroying our culture, how they're undermining everything. Everything in our society is being undermined. And it doesn't matter what we talk about. We talk about our borders. We talk about our health systems. We talk about our culture. We talk about the communities that are rising now in Canada, that we're going to see the same problems here very quickly that Europe is experiencing now. They're coming here very quickly, especially with Trudeau and his immigration minister now wanting to bring in 1 million people a year into Canada. You know what that's going to do to our country, guys, in a couple, 3 years? Not only that, they're guaranteeing that they'll leave the next government because you're going to bring in, what, 3 million people in 3 years? That's 3 million votes for the Liberals. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Instant, yeah. Instant votes.
Well, of course, it's the way they are going to take over our society is they're going to bring the votes in because they know Canadians eventually will get off their butts in anger and stand against it. But if we're outnumbered at that point, what do you do? Just another rabbit hole to go down and think about, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're down to the last 6 minutes here. We're going to have about 3 minutes here before I have to take a break, or 4 minutes before I have to take a break. Wayne, why don't you go ahead and tell people about what you do and the name of your site and where people can find you. And tell them quickly here, guys, where they can find what you're doing here today. And maybe post a link in chat if you can. And I'll get Derek to say a couple words and we'll close out the first hour. But as usual, it's been a blast having you guys in. We're going to do this again.
First of all, I want to say thank you again for having us, Barry. It's always good to get out of our own echo chambers, and the more we can do this across audiences and information, because we're all chasing the same monster, but we're chasing different tentacles of it. There's so many coming into different days. So the more that we can unify the truth across the country through our little platforms, like ours is mine, is What's Up Canada. That's where you'll find everything that we do. We're on Facebook and YouTube and BitChute and Gab and Twitter and all of the big ones. We're starting to lean away from Facebook a little bit with what's going on, but that's where our family is at. And we have quite a community over there that's at the community. These people are absolutely amazing. They're a cut above. We'll give them that. And that's we're not trying to sway influence. We're trying to educate influence in Canada.
Well, kudos to what you're doing, man. We need everybody to get involved. Derek, last word from you, buddy?
You can find me on Facebook under Derek Story or Noble Savages. You can find me on Noble Savages on YouTube. And the one thing I have to say to everybody is don't fall into the fear. Keep your head up. Stay positive. Love your neighbor and know your enemy. regular show. And tune into our show at 4:05 for sure. So, yeah, thanks for having us on again, Barry.
No problem. We'll do it again, guys, guaranteed, because I always enjoy talking with you two guys. Get lots of good thoughts. Yeah, well, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, guys, because that's where
absolutely.
We're at in this world.
Amen. God bless you, Steve.
Absolutely. It's sad we have to say that, but it's a fact of the world we live in. Okay, guys, I'm going to take a break here for about 3-4 minutes. I'm going to be back with Lonnie Clark, and we're going to talk about nuclear insanity, something you guys know I love talking about in the same mouthful. I hate it because what we're doing to this planet is a tragedy, and Lonnie's all over this, and I haven't talked to her for about a year now, I believe, and I'm going to have a chat with her for the next hour. Hang in. I'll be back in 4 or 5 minutes. Well, thanks, folks. Welcome back to the second hour, and I am joined by Lonnie Clark. Lonnie does a show called The Age of Fission. I know she's going to change the name of that show apparently in the near future here, but that's what people recognize her by now. I haven't had Lonnie on. I think it's been, I'm not exactly sure, it's been a while since I've had Lonnie on the show. And Lonnie kind of is what I would call a nuclear watchdog. Focuses most of her attention on nuclear insanity, which is subject we've talked about lots on this show. Welcome back to The Big Puzzle, Lonnie, and thanks for taking your time today to join me and have a little chat.
Well, Barry, thank you. It was really a delightful surprise when you called me and asked me to be on your show. I have been doing my show, The Age of Fission, on my own since UCY. That's how we met, through UCY, since they left. And I actually, to be honest, I work full-time. I have like a real J-O-B. I have a career, actually, that I do. So I don't, this is like my avocation. I don't have a lot of time for it. So I haven't really promoted it all that much. But I think that the reason I wanted to change the name, Age of Fission, is I think that I want to take the name Fission out of it. I think it's too, it keeps people away from listening to the information. I think if I had a more friendlier name, people would actually hear the information. So that's my goal. And I love that you called me a nuclear watchdog. I appreciate that. That's actually a good term. I'm going to take that.
Well, since I've known you, Lonnie, your focus of your attention has been on what's going on inside the nuclear regulatory industries, regulations in government, contamination of soil, Hanover, Hanford. We have talked about multiple different things since I've known you.
It is so
and
that's
why I wanted,
bad.
Well, you know, Lonnie, I was thinking about this the other day. I said, you know, I've been doing a lot of shows on political stuff and other stuff in the last 3 or 4 months, and I kind of wanted to switch gears today and talk about this because it's something that, when I think about the whole spectrum of nuclear power and what it's done to the planet Earth since its conception and perpetration in our society, it's just insanity. It is absolute insanity.
Well, it is.
We need to do something about it.
It is the one bipartisan effort that they all do. You know, the Democrats will lie to your face and say they don't support nuclear. The Republicans are at least honest that they do. I mean, it is really beyond. This is one of my focuses. This is interesting. In the last year, my focus on my show has become more about the nuclear denial. Every single guest I've had on, I've asked them about that because, I mean, it has been overwhelming. I've been doing my show now 6 years and speaking to people who have been involved in this for 30, 40 years. And really, we are no farther along. It's only just we're about to have the radioactive Olympics. So I brought you some things that I do want people to hear on your show, because there are some things that people can do and places that you can go. And I think for me, I also talk about politics. You and I differ very much, I think, on politics. But at the core issues, it's the same. I think one of the fundamentals is who do you trust and who do you not trust. But beyond that, we have a responsibility to actually, I don't know, at least call people or do what you can. So do you remember Dave Parrish from YouTube, P-A-R-R-I-S-H? He has Fuku Fridays. Every Friday since 3/11 or shortly thereafter, he created a website called Operation Save the Earth. And every Friday, I mean, like clockwork for 10, at least the last 6, 7 years at least, he puts out something called Fuku Fridays, and it's a 6-minute video to update you on what's going on in Japan. And if you want to, he's a good access to have on YouTube also. Mine is Nuts for Art. My YouTube channel is NUTZFORART, and that's, we're both YouTubers. And yeah. So, but he put out this really great video, and he's come up with an idea for to commemorate the 3/11 disaster, which is coming up this week.
Right.
I mean, March 11th, 2011, we are in 2020, and those places are still in disaster. We are about to have the Radioactive Olympics, and they are going to do it. It is really – there's hot spots along the torch, the way the guy is going to bring the Olympic torch. Seriously bad hot spots, like 300, 700 microsieverts per hour. Like, whoever's going to go, if that person has a, unless he's wearing full face mask and covers his eyes and his ears, he's going to have some serious problems in 3 to 5 years. There's just no getting out around that. Or maybe in 20, who knows? Yep. But, okay, so Dave put up this, had this brilliant idea on his Fuku Friday videos about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks, to have on 3/11 a worldwide meditation to heal the planet and to come up with solutions so that we can save our Mother Earth, so that we can. And so this is what he's, I'm going to read it right from, he sends me an email because I signed up for Operation Save the Earth. And if you just become, put your email and address in there, every week he sends you his video and he sends you information on all the stuff he talks about. He has everything sourced. That's why I love him. Like, this is the hardest part about me. I'm not the best when I do a video and talk about stuff. I blab on and tell you where to get it, but I often don't have the time. I will go back and put it in, but a lot of times I don't have the source there. Dave puts it out every week with fully sourced. That's why he only does it once a week. He's great. So it's called Dave Parrish's Meeting. The time is on 3/11/2020 at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, UST. And you go to a place called www.eztalks.com. And there's a link, you know, I can post, I don't know if I can send it to you, but it's at Easy Talks, and you can look for Dave Parrish's meeting, and it'll probably give you the link. The meeting ID is 194-16750. And you know what? I know that this is going to be in Dave's video. It's in one of his videos. Okay. Now, you can say join by, you can also join by telephone also. If you're calling from the United States, there's a link in this email, which I can forward you, Barry, and maybe you can figure out a way to put it up on your website, because this is all the information you need. But there's a phone number in the States you could call, 201-439-8092.
Okay, well, we'll look into that.
So that's kind of an interesting thing, don't you think, to like have a worldwide meditation? I'm like, okay.
Well, I'm not myself. I'm not into meditation, Lonnie. So I'm going to leave.
Well, why don't you just join in and pray?
Well, prayer, yes. Prayer has amazing power.
I mean, prayer has amazing power. But you know what? If you have the time on that day, at that time at 11 a.m., like, the idea is to get everybody doing this thing, a praying. Because to me, that's what, to be honest, I told Dave, I'll try it, but I fall asleep. Like, boom, I knock out. I pray for an hour. So this is kind of what I've decided I'm going to do.
Well,
if you join into this Easy Talks, join us via Easy Talks for a special guided meditation with Michael Post of Samadhi Sea of Wisdom of the ninth anniversary of the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Easy Talks is a free professional video conference. It's an app for getting your teams together. So I can send you this, but that is something I think, like for me, I'm definitely at 3/11 at 11 o'clock. I'm going to take time out and I'm going to join this meditation. And I decided if you know, if it's not, if it's too woo-woo for me, if it's something that I'm not comfortable with, I told Dave, and I don't really want to fall asleep during a meditation because I've never effectively meditated. Like, that to me seems like too long. But okay. I certainly can pray. And I do believe in the power of prayer. And we do need people to pray for, like, we really are in bad straits. So listen to this.
Well, nuclear-wise, we are in bad shape. And whether we could turn this around right now, that's a big question.
Well, whether we can turn it around or not, people are affected right now. There's a story that came out on The Ecologist, November 19th. This came out in 2013. Fukushima fallout damaged thyroid glands for California babies.
Yes, it did.
And those children are still being affected today.
Yeah, that's the thing about it.
Reported in 13, but their lives are dramatically affected.
Right. I read a report on that. And the thing about the thyroid damage, it doesn't show up sometimes for 8 to 12 to 15 years before it becomes an issue in your body. So how long has it been since Fukushima? It's been 9 years now?
That's right.
Yeah, 9 years this year in a couple of days. So, the problem isn't solved. I mean, it is really hard to get information out about Fukushima, Lana. I'm finding to get actual hardcore information about what's going on with the reactors right now is very difficult because there is a media quash on information.
Well, you kind of have to go to
Dr. Helen Caldicott. Do you ever follow her?
Yes.
She just did a video. Did you see the last video she did?
Probably because I follow her. She was on my radio show recently.
Yeah, she's awesome, man. She's awesome.
Yes, actually, you know who else is really Nuclear Hot Seat? You can go to Nuclear Hot Seat, Libby Halevy's show. She gives in fact, she has podcasts. I don't know. The guy's given her a new look, and I had trouble finding. But all of her shows, I mirror them on my YouTube channel.
One lady I respect her opinion.
Well, the thing is, she talks to people on the ground. Like, she's networked. Like, I was at a conference at U of O about 2 years ago helping out with this community radio station that I told you about that plays my show. So I was there meeting people, and these women were from Japan, and they gave me their card. And they were so professional. I really did not think I could interview them. So I gave the card to Libby. And Libby Halevy's interviews with these people led to her interviews with the Mina No Data site, which is a group of 4,000 residents who put their money together, and they put their money together, and they all went out and got samples all around. I think it was 17 prefectures, and they created a true radiation data map. They did a study for 4 years, and now I mailed four of the little booklets to the Olympic team committee. I mailed five of them to the Olympic team committee. And one is for my congressman, one's for the senators. And so those were three. And then I gave a couple away. I bought 10 of them to give away.
Cool. My daughter's here right now. She is watching.
I can hear
that.
Yeah,
right. Show. It's okay. Her name's Maya. And, she just walked in the door in the middle of my radio show. She knows she's not supposed to do that, but it was urgent.
I'm your daughter.
She can do that because she's my daughter.
Exactly.
Anyways.
Except for the effort, because then if you can't get on the FCC list, you know, they cut you out. So there's another story that's very interesting happening if you want to hear more.
Then we got guys like Kevin Branch.
Barry.
Well, you know what? Everybody has their own activism, and I applaud that because this is a hard cross to bear, like however you want it to go.
He's just a little bit too much of the F-bomb every second word. The only reason I don't listen to it. Go ahead, Steve. You wanted to say something to me?
No, I just want to know if you wanted to break or not.
No, it's all good. My daughter's here. She's going to be here for a few minutes, guys. I'll try and keep the noise in the background.
Yeah, so just when you're not talking, just put the mute button on and we won't hear it.
Yeah, well, I'll let you talk for a while there, Lonnie, because there's a couple things you want to talk about. I'll just mute out for a few minutes.
Well, there is a lot. Okay, that sounds like a good idea. Might be easier. Yeah,
I'll give you. You got the talking stick for 5 minutes. Okay.
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 I really wanted to. I brought you this other it's another paper by Chris Busby. You know, Dr. Chris Busby, and I know that you know him. He's a world-renowned scientist who's actually an epidemiologist. And he just did a news story in Counterpunch dated March 6, 2020. Cancer in U.S. Navy nuclear-powered ships. You read through the whole story, and it really talks about how they all went out on these nuclear radiation reports. The report rambled on about how low the Fukushima radiation doses were, how everyone acted wonderfully, and how all the radioactivity was rapidly cleaned up. The dose reconstruction, no one showed, no one got more than a fraction of the natural background and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Now, all these years later, they are having rates of, listen to this, this is unbelievable. The limits of the USA and the West are based on the comparison of cancers in those exposed to acute external gamma ray doses to the Japanese A-bomb populations and cannot apply to internal exposures to substances that target DNA, such as uranium and strontium-90, or which provide huge local ionization to some living cells, but nothing at all to other DU particles, reactor discharge particles. They have 9 times the expected rate of cancer than all other people. The men that are working on these ships have 9 times the rate of cancer. The results showed an astonishing 9.2-fold excess in cancer in the sailors on nuclear-powered vessels. There were 121 cancers predicted on the basis of the national rates, and 1,119 reported by the DTRA study. For the Reagans, you know, the Ronald Reagans, USS Ronald Reagan, for the Reagans, it was about sixfold, with 46 reported and 7.6 expected.
Well, this, you never hear that on mainstream, do you?
I mean, this is astounding. I mean, well, there's a lot of things we don't. So this is why I decided I really do need to change the name of my show, because I need to be able to talk about politics, because all of this is interrelated. This, what's happening, it's all, you know, I reported on this last year. And in fact, I read Carl Grossman's book, Weapons in Space. And this is all about the rollout of the military plan that was written in 1952, actually. It was written and adopted in like 62 or something. And it's called Vision for 2020. And we are here and they are rolling it out. It is happening, period.
It's happening at a very quick rate right now.
Completely. Well, we're here. It's 2020. It's time for the rollout. And I actually think, now remember when Fukushima first happened? You're a good person, and I'm so glad I can talk freely to you about this, because you'll at least not think I'm a complete lunatic. But to remember when Fukushima first happened, and when I got involved in 2012, there was a lot of jabber about it was caused on purpose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So here I was thinking about this whole thing about the Olympics, how they intentionally are bringing people to a highly, they know, you should, the MENA No Data site, which I highly recommend to everybody. It's MINNA-NO data site. I'll see if that's the exact name. But it's these citizens from Japan. They won a publisher's award in Japan, their big fat book. They created this little booklet that I sent out. It's just an English draft with all the vital information. But they produced a big fat book, and they won a journalist publisher's award for like new information and the carefulness for which it was put together. It was like, it's an astoundingly great scientific book that shows where all the radioactivity is in 17 prefectures over 4 years. And the rates are like beyond comprehension.
What about the dome in the Pacific that's really giving them major problems, and they're telling us now it's about to collapse in on itself, that contains all the
plutonium? It is collapsing. What do you mean about?
Well, yeah, there's that one. I was just reading a report on that, Lonnie, and that alone has unbelievable implications. Yeah. If that dome collapses on all the spent nuclear waste that the U.S. done with all these tests that were done, and that dome collapses, boy, are we going to have a problem. Can you close that door, please, Mike?
Well, we already have a problem. The Arctic is melting, and that's where Russia dumped all of their nuclear waste for years and years and years in canisters up in the Arctic. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's our big, you know, we have big problems already. I mean, this is my thing. It's also another reason why I want to talk about politics, because really, literally, I think the reason that the EPA is now just so out of control with safety and health regulations is because they know that it's so bad that no matter what we do, we're super screwed. Lots of people are going to die. It doesn't really matter. So they might as well make as much money and maximize their profits.
Well, I think that same statement could be made to just about any sector of society that the government's involved in. I mean, look at big farming. You know, look at the money they make off big farming, what that's doing.
Well, anything again, the government touches
seems to be detrimental to the health of the human being.
For me, you want me to tell you the truth? I think it goes back to the nuclear discovery. It was when the military went completely insane over the control they could get with nuclear. Because then they started, like, as the industrial military, like, if you read John Goffman's, I've read so many of his things. I've read some of them on my YouTube channel. But honestly, when they, in fact, in his oral history, I did read it on my YouTube channel. At the beginning of the oral history, he talks about as soon as they discovered uranium, they started experimenting on humans. And they knew they don't care. Like, for them, it's all about the profits because it's so highly profitable because it has such firepower for the military. It goes hand in hand. And John Goffman was actually, he believed in the bomb. He wasn't like a peace activist. He got anti-nuclear about building nuclear power plants.
But he wanted to blow up everything.
You know, I mean, I don't know if he wanted to blow up everything, but he thought it was a good deterrent. He was one of these people that felt like it was a good deterrent.
Well, if it's a good deterrent, they're willing to use it. But you know, and I know that nuclear power plants were never designed to produce electricity. That was what they sold to the public for the reason for the construction of nuclear power plants. They designed them to operate at a very high temperature so they could produce weapons-grade plutonium for the military-industrial complex. And the billions and hundreds of billions of dollars that were sucked out of the private sector into the military-industrial complex simply by the proliferation of nuclear power plants to produce electricity. They told it was the new, safe, cool thing to do. And the answer to all our problems, and now we look at the amount of problems we have from the spent waste from nuclear power plant and the potential they have for destruction. We talked about that, about where they have built nuclear power plants in relation to major fault lines that are going to move. What's going to happen, Lonnie, when we have a 9.2 megaquake underneath one of these power plants?
Look, Barry, for me, it's not even just the megaquakes.
Talk about Hanford. Talk about Hanford for a minute. Tell people about what we've got going on there. Hey, let's have a little bit of a horror show. Let's talk about Hanford for a minute.
I mean, honestly, you can't make this stuff up.
I know. Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk about it for a minute, because I know about it, but a lot of people haven't heard it.
Well, this was a site. It was a reservation where an indigenous tribe lived there. Like, people lived there. They had thriving lives there. And the United States government, on the most magnificent gorge you've ever been into, the Columbia Gorge, is breathtaking. Luscious, green, food just grows everywhere. It's beautiful. They had salmon. They had salmon traps. They had actually, the abundance in the Northwest was so prolific that they actually were not nomadic. They were the only Native American land who didn't have to leave. They were here.
Yeah.
And the United States government looked at this water around the Columbia Gorge and said, we want that water. They put in 8 plutonium processing plants there, and they shut them all down eventually. And do you know what came out recently, Barry? This is like beyond comprehension. They moved them. The people were outraged because the Columbia River was getting hot. They were killing the animals. It was highly radioactive. So they shut down the plutonium processing plants late in the game. I don't remember the year, but well after World War II. So they closed them down. And then They just recently disclosed that they have never inspected those buildings in 50 years. They built them and just ignored them. And they're all collapsing right now. But this is interesting. When we talk about the government, Donald Trump signed last year an executive order to support the nuclear industry and the uranium industry. He made a commitment as the president of the United States that the United States views nuclear power in the national best interest of our country. He rolled out Space Force 2020. He rolled it out. And I think that's why he was selected, because he was brash enough. He wouldn't have gone what? We stole trillions of dollars. I mean, when they get into the White House, then they learn all the real stuff, what really goes on. It's like Dick Cheney said of Barack Obama, right? He's like, just wait till he gets in the White House after 24 hours. He'll change his mind about Iraq. I'm not worried about him. He'll get it.
Yeah, he'll get.
And then what did Barack Obama do? He rolled in all of George Bush's advisors, all of them, all of them.
He was just carrying on the agenda. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Business as usual.
Well, you know what is changing, though? These sites, you cannot deny nuclear death. That's the issue.
Well, you're right. We do share differences on opinion on a few things, but that makes life interesting, doesn't it, Lonnie? You know, it does. I mean, we're not going to share.
Because we're both looking at each other going, how the hell can you think like that?
But that's what makes conversations interesting. I get people on radio shows all the time that I know I'm not going to agree with their opinion. But you know what? I want their opinion to be heard, because it's important that everybody's opinion.
Well, so this is my other thing. You know, I'm inside the U.S. and I'm a Democrat, and I'm, you know, me. I am a flaming liberal. I'm not just a liberal. I am like a flaming liberal. And I really think that Bernie Sanders is the only person that can right the ship, to be honest. But
well,
I know that the
DNC... We're very, very far from opinions, but that's okay. I kind of wanted to talk about nuclear today.
If Bernie Sanders... I mean, there was 3 million votes in California, over 3 million votes in California that were not counted, that have not been counted yet. And Joe Biden was declared the winner of all those delegates. 3 million votes. You know what California did to the voters? The Democratic Party, they Jim Crowed the primary because they want their war hawk. You know, one of the reasons I like Bernie Sanders is he's the only candidate who's ever said, I want to look at the military budget and cut it back. We need to rebuild America. We cannot be having endless wars. We need to stop it. So what does that mean to the Democratic National Committee? He cannot get in at any cost. It does not matter. They are not going to let him in, period. They do not care. They prefer Donald Trump over Bernie Sanders because they're all war hawks. They're all war profiteers, all of them.
Well, you guys have a few problems down there in the States, but if you want to really see problems in politics...
I can't hear it. Okay, let's get back to
Canada. We'll come up to Canada and I'll start talking about that. But yeah, let's not... I mean,
let's talk about Mr. Hanford.
I wanted to kind of talk about... Let's talk about Hanford.
Talk about what's going on. Their land. They were forced to evacuate. Actually, you know what? They encouraged them to become farmers. A lot of them became farmers. This is so interesting. But they were farming on radioactive land. So a lot of their families have horrible problems. A lot of the Native Americans are now nuclear watchdogs, like you call me, and some are very active anti-nuke activists. So because of this, because their lands are all contaminated, and they've had to move farther and farther north, it's just like been horrible there. So moving on now, we have Hanford, which when it was built, there was a rumor, or so they said, that there was a rumor that there was an earthquake fault underneath the Columbia Generating Station, which sits on the Hanford Reservation. And the idea was that nuclear spent fuel, you know, it was already on a contaminated site. So they were leasing them the land to generate money and electricity. That's how they sold it. And it was rumored to have an earthquake fault. So after all these years, in 2013, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility hired 3 geologists to study it. I think they hired them like right after Fukushima, because the report came out in 2013. They took about a year and a half, 2 years to study this area at Hanford Columbia Generating Station, they discovered 8 active earthquake faults sitting underneath the Columbia Generating Station and Hanford. So the state of Washington got all freaked out, and they hired their own. They hired a team of 8 or 10 people, their own geologists, to, like, let's go see what's going on. They discovered way more. What they discovered is that there's actually a brand new fault line that they've discovered that links into the Cascadia that goes all the way up and links it all the way down, and they sit directly underneath Hanford and underneath the Columbia Generating Station, which is about, I don't know, I think it's exactly like 21 miles or 12 miles. I think it's like 12 miles away from Hanford on the fault. Which means this is the scary part. When there's an earthquake and it's, oh, this was the other big bomb they discovered. The state of Washington discovered that that earthquake fault is actually overdue for a 9.0 or greater earthquake.
9.2 they're talking, and it's 70 years, approximately 70 years right now, Lonnie.
Overdue.
Right. And they timed it. They've timed it religiously over the last 10,000 years. The major movements are causing sediment buildups on the mud plains, and they can distinctly time the time between the movements and the size of the movements by the deposit. It's a big one coming.
This is the sad part about the Columbia Generating Station with Hanford. They discovered, you know, the Physician for Social Responsibility looked at the original application. Turns out that the licensee did know there was an earthquake fault there, but they didn't put it on there. And they said, oh, well, we forgot. And so the NRC did absolutely nothing to them. There's no penalty for lying about that. And I was talking to Tom Carpenter of the Hanford Challenge. They're a watchdog group up there. He's an attorney, and he basically goes into court on behalf of injured workers from Hanford. So it's called Hanford Challenge because it's a challenge. If you're working at Hanford and you get sick, it is a challenge getting your bills paid, your medical bills paid, and getting your disability. It is hard. They fight everything. So Tom Carpenter's an attorney for this group, and he's very busy, and he interviewed with me. And I asked him, because my theory was this, like, it's only 12 miles away. So what happens if Columbia Generating Station has a small meltdown, which it could, it will. Like, if there's an earthquake, they're going to shut that thing down, period. And if it has a nuclear meltdown, what it could do was create a no-go zone of 25-mile radius for 2 weeks. You can't go in there, otherwise you die. There's a 25-mile radius zone where you cannot get into there for more than 10, 15, 20 minutes. Like, you can't go in there to do anything. And a lot of the tanks at Hanford, some of the tanks that have some of the most combustible old tanks that need constant churning, some of them are underground and they just churn them. If those things don't get churned, they will explode. That's why they have to be churned, because they get too hot and they'll just, boom, kablooey. And I said to Tom, is it possible that we could, like, have, like, an ongoing – because I heard about this in Louisiana where a gas thing went up and there was some nuclear waste buried there. And it just was – like in Missouri, in St. Louis, they have this fire. We could have a 700,000-year fire at Hanford that we could not put out, and it would be bye-bye North America. Like, we would have a radioactive plume that would take over 3 to 4 years to really just kill everybody or contaminate everything.
That just blows my mind.
But within a month, the world would be covered with soot. I mean, the world would just be – it is such a beyond comprehension. Fukushima is in the same place. Like, look, we're worried about them dumping all this water. Look, everything from that nuclear plant flows right into the ocean already. They say that they're right next to the mountains. They haven't even decontaminated the mountains because they can't. They just tell people not to go up there. But it rains down. You think all of that nuclear contamination from those 6 nuclear meltdowns haven't, like, gone all over the place in the ocean? This is the insanity of the radioactive Olympics, Barry. They're going to have surfing.
This is the insanity of nuclear power, Lonnie.
Because they're going to have surfing for the first time at the radioactive Olympics. They're going to have surfing.
I know. Let's just go surfing in that radioactive water.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at least they're not going to have to worry about getting chemotherapy in the future, right? I mean, you know, no chemo for me. I'm already good, buddy. I'm at my levels already. But no, it's not even funny. You know what? It's insanity. And what we're seeing with Fukushima, you know, they're what they call GE Mark I generators, Lonnie. You know that, eh? Yeah. They're the worst.
Identical to the one at Columbia Generating Station, I might add.
Exactly. I was just going to say that they're using a GE Mark I at the Columbia Generating Station. The worst design ever conceived by the human race for a nuclear power plant, mainly because they came up with this great idea of storing the spent rods in the ceilings of these buildings in ponds for, what, 10 years before they're safe to dispose of, Lonnie? And if you have what's going on right now at Fukushima, the building's crumbling, and these fuel rods still in the ceilings of these buildings, if those fuel rods hit the ground and we see an exposure to air, you could have a hydrogen explosion, a potential of a hydrogen explosion. You know, it's insanity. But this is just one of the, there's 20, was the report I read. I actually wrote it down here. Hank, where did I put that? I think there's 21 of these GE Mark I generators operating on the planet right now as we talk. And they're all the same potential of what we're seeing happening with Fukushima, where they can't even find the cores. And like I said, they're not letting us know how bad the situation is, but we know that it is affecting the Pacific Ocean. We're getting these reports about levels of radiation in our fish that are undeniable.
We don't have any orca
concentrations. We will.
Let's just be clear.
Our starfish
are dying.
The orcas are dying. I know that. I've read those reports. Our starfish have disappeared. Our up here, the main sustenance of all sea life eat the herring. Is the main sustenance, and those numbers are dropping. Our salmon numbers are dropping every year.
No sardines. Alaska,
right? And Alaska, Oregon, the Copper River in Oregon, one of the biggest salmon rivers in Oregon State, has made major announcements about what they're going to have for shutdowns this year. Same thing we're hearing in Alaska,
exactly.
That the salmon are in big trouble. And what's it going to take for the human race to go, wait a second, we should have a little bit more priority on our list of things we should be looking after, and that's the ocean.
You know what's sad about it, Barry?
It's sad, man. It really is, Lonnie.
Is that really, even if we stopped it today, we have consequences that we have to deal with. Like, even if we could just magically
stop it
make all of it just disappear, we still have
medical.
You know, exactly.
Years.
There's no magic. It's not going to go away in several hundred, like several million years. Some of these isotopes last millions of years.
There's really an unearthed
and horrible monster. And to be honest, at least in this country, I don't know how you guys protect your nuclear waste, but over the last year, the Department of Energy here put out, the president again signed an executive order where he does not allow the Nuclear Safety Defense Oversight Board from going on any of the Manhattan Project sites unannounced. They can no longer interact with any of the employees without permission from their supervisors, and they cannot just come there and do regular visitations. And that's the Manhattan Project sites. So there's a lot of them, right? And most of the waste is in Hanford. And then the Nuclear Regulatory Commission issued some new guidelines so that the licensees oversee themselves.
That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Let's have the fans.
They're doing it as a money-saving thing. That's what it was.
Nothing like the fox watching the hen house, eh? But then that same thing applies to just about everything the government gets involved in. We have Big Pharma. All the drugs that are being approved for Big Pharma are being studied by the companies that produce them. And, of course, they all have long-term studies, like 3 weeks. We know it's safe, but the guys can start using it. It's a joke. It really is. It's sad what's happening.
It is actually in
going on in large scale.
It's inhumane. That's what we're talking. And this is the point. So I've been doing my radio show for a good since 2014, essentially, really September 2014, and I have learned so much. Like there, the amount that we continue to uncover about this, but what is really amazing, and this is what I just can't get over now, the nuclear denial. All of the people that make these decisions, all of them are doing so with impunity. All of the elected officials choose to ignore the medical consequences of their votes and choose to ignore the environmental consequences. I have no idea what prompts them to continue to lie to the public about the harm of nuclear. Because all of them, think about it, Barry, every nation on every planet, every government lies to their population about the harm that nuclear contamination causes.
Well, they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot, aren't they, Lonnie? Really, if you think about it, I mean, they're being mandated to not provide the proper information to the public.
I get it, but don't you?
They're working for the team, but, you know, in the end, it's going to come back and bite them in the butt just as it's hard.
So they're working for the team, but, like, evidently, me and you, we're not part of that team. Like, we're assets on a balance sheet, right?
We're not part of the big party. I don't think there's many people that we know or we talk about on radio shows are part of the big party. I think the big party's a very small, selected group of people, and everybody else is just a pawn, one rung up the runner from the next guy that we are dealing with. I might be on the bottom, but we might have somebody above me that's trying to manipulate me, thinks he's going to be part of the big party because he's doing his bit to perpetrate this agenda, and he's just going to be used like you and me when the time comes. So right now, man, we got a situation in society where you got society fighting against themselves, doing things that they shouldn't be doing against their fellow man because they think that they're going to end up, on the right side of the boat. I hate to say it, folks, but we're all going to be in trouble when this develops to what I see coming. Period. Just a thought. That might be a little bit wild, but not really, you know, when you think about it.
No, I think all of us have been. I think all of us, like my sister died recently from cancer. She was diagnosed in November and died in January of colon cancer. But she moved to San Onofre 5 years ago, less than 20 miles away, right on the Pacific Ocean. And honestly, I told her when she moved there, she was high risk because when she was a kid, her thyroid also was affected. Now, we're born in the 50s, so I think she might have been affected by a nuclear bomb in utero or something like that because she got Hashimoto's disease when she was 17 and had to have her thyroid out. And Hashimoto's disease is basically thyroid cancer. That's what they call it. So, well, I mean, there's lots of us. It's like, do you remember Wendy that used to interview with me on my radio show? She stopped interviewing me because she got brain cancer. But she was from St. Louis, and she was used to playing radioactive pellets as a kid. They thought it was black sand.
Yeah. I remember her.
Yeah, they played in black sand. Like, and sure, her and her husband, when she always had autoimmune problems when she was a kid. They had no idea what was from playing in radioactivity. None.
Well, hey, Lonnie, why are we seeing such a rise of cancer in children? This is insanity what's going on in our society with the amount of children, you know, that are 7, 8, 9, 10 years old that all of a sudden are being diagnosed with one form of cancer or another. This, you know, when I was a child, and I remember my childhood quite vividly, that I never even heard about cancer in children. Never.
Right.
It was
right.
Never even discussed so because there wasn't an issue. So what's happened in our society since I was a child, which we'll say maybe 50 years ago? I'm 65 now, so maybe even 55 years ago when I was 10 years old. It would have been 1964. Growing up, we never heard about cancer. We never heard about autism. It wasn't existent in our society. When I was that age, it was 1 in 30,000 people would have autism. Now we are at 1 in 28 girls and 1 in 50 boys, and projected to be 1 in 3 to possibly 1 in 2 in our society by the year 2025. Isn't that great? Something we've got to look forward to. Why are we seeing such a spike in autism? It all plays out with the same thing, Lonnie. What we're talking about right here with
schizophrenia too. It also causes schizophrenia.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's not just one element that we are being attacked with. It's multiple elements.
True.
We're being attacked from every direction.
Chemicals,
it doesn't matter what you look at,
pharmaceuticals,
what we're drinking,
they're destroying our food supply.
They're spraying us to death like rats.
No kidding.
You know, they're feeding us food that's poison.
Do you know
they're ramping up our vaccine programs so the kids are so
I have someone I really respect. He doesn't believe in chemtrails.
Oh, come on. If you don't believe in chemtrails, I'll sell you a bridge, okay?
That's what I said.
Well, no, Higgs chemtrails are real, and I will argue that, and I can provide proof with anything I want to argue that.
But you know what? This is like the serious denial. It goes hand in hand with the nuclear denial. This is the same person who thinks I spend far too much time paying attention to this, that it's not really harming anybody, because if it did, we'd all be a lot more sick. I'm like, people are really sick. You don't see it?
The government really wouldn't do anything to harm us, would they, Lonnie? I mean, the government loves us. Come on. You guys are nuts.
Well, the thing to remember about the government is there is no the government. It's human beings who are using taxation for personal profit without regard. Like, there is, you know, like for me, I'm not an anti-government person. I think that they're humans form governments. I think we just form, that's just civilizations create these kinds of things. The idea of democracy, however, is a brand new form of government. It is not, it's relatively new. And so people, they kind of got the scheme down, like from the, at least in the United States, they schemed it out so not everybody really gets the freedom and the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's just for the select few. That's written into our Constitution, which, you know, we had, like today is considered International Women's Day, right? I'm like, screw that. I call it International Placate Day. I would much rather have equal rights and equal pay than a day, international day, given to me by some rich white guy. Thank you, but no. Like, and it's the same thing. We just placate. They placate about everything. And so what they've done with the nuclear contamination is they've allowed all these other elements to contaminate us so they can say, how do you know it's nuclear? You're going to deny us energy when all these other things are causing cancer? You're going to make us live without energy? You get what I'm saying? You're holding us back from the future? This is so devious. It is like, but the one thing they can't do is deny death and disease. Like, their attitude, when I really talk to somebody, I talk to a health physicist, he's like, so what? We can cure cancer. We have these diseases. Other chemicals, other things are worse. Nuclear takes a long time. We should be using it because it takes a long time to cause harm. I'm like, oh my God. How long does it last, though? Millions of years. We get to use it, the benefit of it, maybe 20 years, maybe 30, 50, because it takes 10 or 15 years to build these monsters. That's another one of the worst things. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission in the last year has started handing out 80-year licenses. Huh. I mean, these plants were designed to last 20 years. And combine that with the fact of what we were talking about earlier, the earthquakes are everywhere. Imagine an old decrepit nuclear facility in 10 years sitting on top of an earthquake fault that's old and crickety and is barely hanging on because the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the licensee is beating it like an old mule to death.
Well, those events are going to happen, Lonnie. It's inevitable that, you know, these major geological events that we talk about are going to happen. Well, you can't avoid it. I mean,
well, you know what? Maybe we can avoid it.
The plates aren't going to start moving.
But you know what? This is why I am going to participate in the meditation on 3/11.
Well, that's.
And I encourage you to take the time at 11 o'clock to set that hour out for prayer. I mean, turn it into something for good for that 1 hour on 3/11. Do something to commemorate privately. Really. Say prayers, because we need that. We need humans to come together in peace and to come up with some solutions. Otherwise, you know, we don't have much time with our kids. I feel a sense of urgency.
Well, so do I, and I've been feeling it for years, Lonnie.
We got to
look at what's going on, the big picture of what's going on the planet right now. And if you take it all into context, we are in a lot of trouble. That existence of life, that we might be the generation or the next generation that exceeds the extinction of life on the planet. And I say that strictly because of the fact that we have multiple nuclear power plants sitting right now in direct striking range of major fault lines that are going to move, are going to create 8 to 9 magnitude earthquakes, and the cooling systems in these power plants are going to crumble, and we're going to see meltdowns in multiple places that are going to absolutely blow the human race's mind, and everybody will start screaming, we got to do something about it. But you know what? By then, it's going to be too late, because those events will happen. We can't stop that. We don't have control over the planet. But for us to be so short-sighted that we build nuclear power plants right on top of fault lines that are going to move, that are going to make major problems in the future, Fukushima is just one example of what
Fukushima is the first of the really big ones.
It should be our wake-up call. It should be the one that has the whole planet going, hey, this ain't working out. We've got to change this, because if we don't...
That's another thing.
If we don't, we're not going to have life.
Remember the NRC did this whole year study, a 2-3 year study of lessons learned from Fukushima? Well, Rick Perry turned back some of those lessons learned things because they cost too much money. So they're saving money. So this is the thing. There is a complete disregard for life on the planet from the nuclear industry and from the chemical. Like all these mega, we mean nothing to them. Like literally, this is why people would love to believe there's reptilians everywhere. That's what I think. Like for us to think that she's a reptilian, because then she doesn't have to take personal responsibility. It's like all these people that get into the White House, you know, we're bombing. How many bombs a minute are we bombing in the United States? It was an incomprehensible, something like 11,000 bombs a minute are going off from the United States government every minute, somewhere in the world.
I don't know about those numbers, but anyways.
And it's been doing this. Not that Trump created this, it's the same. Like he's increased it, but it was still going on.
Well, you know, there's always going to be wars as long as people that are evil that are in control of government. Wars have always happened. Wars are funded on both sides by the banks. Any example of wars in the last 200 years, if we trace the money behind those wars, you'll find out that they were funded on both sides by the banks that were just being played like fiddles. We are used to make as much money for the industrial military complex as possible during the course of our lifetime, to take as many prescription drugs into our body, to contribute as much money as possible to the system, and then we die. A very miserable
death. I'm not buying into that story.
That's my paragon. I mean, I love to spread my thoughts, right? I listen to everybody else's thoughts, but that's what I see going on in this world.
Well, I mean, that's their plan. That is for sure their plan. That is for sure their plan. That's what they want us to do. I'm 64. I don't take any chemical and no medications.
You're educated. You're educated. But a general population is still in the matrix. They're still into the medical.
You know what? You are so correct on that. Like, it is really odd. Like, I'm often shocked. Like, well, my friend who doesn't believe in the chemtrails, I think they take something like 6 or 7 pills, 8 pills a day.
I know people that have a little pill box.
They take five
for breakfast. They got to take 4 for lunch, and then supper. It's a heavy regimen because they got to take pills to offset the pills that they've been taking all day. And then they wonder why drug interaction now is the third biggest killer of people in North America. What? Are you serious? Yeah. Who's making money and who is the criminal? And who is
There's an excellent book to recommend. I loved it. It changed a lot of my perspective, called Death by Medicine.
Oh, yeah, I know. But they're allowed to get away with it.
It is a shock. I mean,
there's things that go on in the medical profession these days that are barbaric.
But you know, there's a really good self-help.
Everything we need to heal our bodies is given to us by the earth. And people
gotta
really
understand
that.
I was just about to mention that, Barry. There's a great self-help book that is really kind of my guide to life when I get sick. She gives you a list. Her name is Dr. Linda Richter Page. And I buy her books used, like the 12th edition on Abe's Books or someplace used bookstores for like $10-$12, sometimes $20. The new books are like $50-$60, but it's called Healthy Healing. And her name is Dr. Linda Richter Page, and she's super awesome. In the front of the book, she talks about, you know, the general idea of healing and cleansing. And then in the back of the book, like the second half of the book, it has specific problems that are wrong with you. And she gives you a protocol of food, supplements, vitamins, and body work. And every time I've used anything in that book, you don't have to use everything, but just sort of follow the guideline, finds what works for you. I'm telling you, it works. And I have found that it has been very helpful for me to have that book, especially since Fukushima, because we are being challenged.
I've got a book here that I read when I get sick, and it's called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing.
I have that. That's a good
book. Yeah, it's a good book. Well, yeah, it gives you a basic reference to whatever's ailing you. The basic references are there for the natural procedures to heal what's ailing you.
Right.
And I've read it and I've used it, and it seems to work well. I don't take prescription drugs. I am totally into natural healing. I have an amazing example of that this year in my own body, but I don't have time to talk about that today. But the earth provides everything that we need to keep our bodies strong and healthy. And what we've done to our bodies with the conception of the Industrial Revolution, with the oncoming of medical drugs and pharmaceuticals, we've put so many analyticals and so many contaminants in our body now that are interacting and having wars with each other, that the human race is in bad shape, that we're into a zombie apocalypse. We factor into that what they can do with nanotechnology and how far they can go with Margallon's disease. Stuff that we thought years ago was complete conspiracy theories are now being absolutely proven true.
And denied and ignored.
But absolutely being proven true. There is nothing that these people won't do to achieve their agenda, period. We got to realize that I believe we're dealing with psychopaths.
I'm trying to ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you think that they are sort of implanting compliance and like making people certain ways, like targeting certain people and doing like sound energy and weird shit like that?
I'll tell you how I'll answer that. You know how I'm going to answer that, Lonnie? I've said this many times on my show. We got to realize that these people contain or possess technology that's 15 years ahead of what we're allowed to actually know about. So if you look at where technology is right now and project that 15 years down the road, what kind of toys do they actually have in their possession right now
to
turn against the human race when that time comes? Yes, Steve, I know I'm out of time.
All right, well.
It's just a thought. And I think about that a lot. And the nanotechnology, they can now put radio transmitters in nano-sized particles that you can inhale in your body and you don't know they're there. That's how far we know about. How far ahead of that are they? And what's the plan, Lonnie? It's a question we have to ask ourselves.
Well, it's called The Vision for Space. You should really read that, like, really seriously. Well, it's scary.
Listen, Lonnie, you know what? I've enjoyed this conversation today.
Me too. I have too. Thank you for inviting me. I hope you come on my show and we can continue this conversation.
Well, you invite me in sometime, and I will continue this conversation with you anytime. Like, we know that we don't agree on certain things, but I asked you in today because I really like how much you follow what's going on with nuclear and how we got to make people aware of these problems before it gets to a point where we can't do anything about it. I think we still can, but the human race has got to wake up to it, Lonnie, period, or else I don't see a very bright future for our children.
Well, I actually believe in the power of prayer. I encourage people to just, like, you know, settle down and pray. Ask God for help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Lonnie, I'm going to thank you for coming in. And
well, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Hey, folks, that's another show. I appreciate you guys coming in today. I really appreciate Stephen Roberts for producing my show and for People's Internet Radio providing our platform and Shake and Wake for providing a platform to share our thoughts. I'll be back next week. I have some really pretty cool people coming in next week. I'm going to be putting the names up this week, but we're really going to talk about what's going on inside the First Nations organizations in Canada that are being taken over by First Nations, by the United Nations, and dividing our society. It's going to be a very interesting show. So I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you all. Have a great week, and bye for now.